Well, good morning, King's Church, and welcome to all our friends who are listening in from different contexts, from round and about. You are so welcome, and it's great to be in touch with you. Obviously, we'd much prefer to be meeting in person, but obviously we're in the middle of a very strict lockdown, a lockdown which is far stricter than the first one, actually. But still, only a couple of weeks to go, and we'll be meeting back together again in person. Just a couple of practical things before we get into our scripture reading this morning. First thing is, please keep contacting each other. Of course, you can message one another in various different ways. Phone calls are even better. And actually, we are permitted to meet one other person outdoors. And so why not arrange to meet up with somebody else and have a walk with them and a chat, see how they're doing, perhaps pray together and take that opportunity. Secondly, you may have noticed from Facebook this morning that on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this coming week, we're having a time of praying and fasting. You can catch the details there, but suffice to say that when nations face difficulties in biblical times, they always turn to God in praying and fasting. And I think as a nation, we should be no different. I know that various different groups have been doing this all through, and I'm sure that individually we have. But it's a very good, very positive thing to do. So we're going to be seeking God's face. We want to make opportunity for you to feed back to us what God has been speaking to you. And we'll give you more details of that as things unfold on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday of this week. So please keep a lookout and join with us. It's not to say that we require you to fast food and water for 3 days. You can do part of that, but please consider what time you can take, put aside to prayer, perhaps spend even more time than you have in prayer recently this week. Just give that extra push, because I feel as if it's a great concern, the circumstances that we are facing. Okay, I'm just going to pray, and then we're just going to look at two verses from Psalm 27 this morning. So let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for your love for us. It really does surpass anything that we could ever have asked or thought. The way in which, Father, you loved us even before the foundation of the world. Thank you that you chose us in Christ. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, you made us alive together with you. And we thank you for all these wonderful promises that you bring to us, Lord. We thank you that we're living in the good of all of them now. We thank you that there are promises for us now and hope for all eternity. And we ask, as we turn to scripture now, that you would help us to better understand it in the context that we are in, and understand the hope that it gives us as we look ahead. Thank you that you've promised to never leave us or forsake us, and we can absolutely stand, and having done all, to stand on those promises in these challenging times for your glory. Amen. Okay, just going to read two verses from Psalm 27, and those verses for this morning are going to be the last two verses, verses 13 and 14. And this is what they say in the scripture that I'm looking at. David says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I often think of these verses because some of the words contained in those verses have been put to music and have formed very popular songs, some of which I listen to almost on a daily basis. Words like I will see the Lord in the land of the living from People and Songs is a very, very popular one. And having said that, I've really come at these scriptures this morning really from the opposite way on. As I've given consideration to this so many times, I do actually believe that David is saying that he is going to see the goodness of the Lord in the context that he's in the land that he is in, and this is not a future promise, this is a promise for the here and now. Although, as I've looked at these words, I've always really thought that this land really is a land of the dying, not the land of the living. Let me say something more about that. You may find that very challenging already. Even scripture says that we will have approximately 70 years and 10, is it? And some people who we know and love have already surpassed that and they're still going strong. But there's no promises that we will actually live forever. And as far as I understand it, the death rate for human beings has never dropped below 100%. So what's my thinking behind this? Well, this is, I believe, and I say this sensitively in the context, this is the land of the dying. And for Christians, our joy is that we are going to the land of the living. It's very interesting because what we're seeing in society is something totally different. And I mention this in part because I'm very concerned about some of the things that we're hearing on our TVs, on our news feeds, wherever we might get them just recently. Even the BBC was saying this week, I was made aware of this after a conversation with Pete, that we did, as you will know, pass 50,000 people that have died with COVID-related illness in these last several months. At least that's what it says on the death certificate. But what the BBC even said was that 40,000 of those 50,000 people were over 75. And I'm sure that's what Pete conveyed to me. You can check the statistics yourself. And it just made me think, we are in a culture now that seems to be leaning towards the fact that we have this right to live forever. And actually, it's totally unbiblical. And we need to be very, very careful that we aren't, with the way that we're bombarded with news and information these days, that we aren't looking at this from totally the wrong angle. We don't have an eternity on earth. The eternity for us is in heaven. And everybody has a point in which their life on earth will come to an end. And that is why it is so important for us as Christians to tell other people that they need to sort out what happens after death, rather than trying to add a few years to their lives now. I'm sure we're not far off a time when, you know, people are going to say that their human rights have been breached if they don't live to 105 in all their strength. And perhaps we're going to see some lawsuits from beyond the grave that people didn't live as long as what they felt that they ought to be able to. But anyway, let's get back to what David is saying here. I think it's very, very important, and I've often said this before, some of you will have heard me say, time is not running out for Christians. Time is running in for Christians. We have a future for those of us who love and thirst after the Lord, that our future is going to be an eternity in heaven. What we're actually seeing in society is as old as the hills, really. And that is that fears of the future make people want to eat and drink for tomorrow we die. And perhaps even subconsciously, that's what we're seeing, particularly with a lot of young people as they're going out, particularly as the close of lockdown or, you know, lockdown in certain areas see all these young people out on the streets getting as many drinks as they can in, gathering together before the dreaded lockdown comes. So that's something to think about and pray about. But be very careful that we're not being seduced into a secular worldview when the biblical worldview is totally opposite to that. And we should be opposite as Christians. Back to Psalm 27. It's a shame that we're only covering the last two verses because the rest of Psalm 27 is a wonderful psalm. But obviously for the sake of time, we need to press on and we need to cover these two verses. So perhaps you could do that in your own time. God loves us to pray. That's why it's good that we're going to take some time out to pray and fast. And hopefully in these last several months when things have been very, very difficult, hopefully the result of that is that it's compelled you to pray, spend more and more time in prayer. True believers thirst after God. And perhaps if you consider what your prayer life has been like over these last 6 months, it will give a good indicator as to what your relationship is like with God. Okay, so verses 13 and 14 are very, very interesting, but just let's give a little bit of context to where we're at with that. In verse 7, David actually says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" And so there's context there where David is laying his heart out before God and saying, "Please hear my prayers." And God is saying, "If you turn to me in prayer, then I will hear you." God loves us to pray. Okay, let's get to verses 13 and 14. "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage." Wait for the Lord. We see that David has been through quite a bit of adversity. This is not one of the times when he's locked away in a cave, but he, right from the start of him becoming well known, he had many enemies. But he has pursued God in prayer. And when we get to verses 13 and 14, we see the outcome of David, right back even from verse 7 and before, that this is the outcome of the prayer that is made. And such a difference it seems to have made to his soul. And it's obvious from what David declares here, "I believe that I will look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." In spite of, or despite what I just said previously, David means that this goodness is going to come to him in the coming days. And we see David's confidence in his Saviour. That's nothing to say that his circumstances have actually changed. But his perspective has certainly changed. And I wonder what that's like for us. Perhaps you've been praying about something for quite some time. Perhaps it's been in these last several months of this COVID era, this dreaded 2020. And perhaps you've been praying and your circumstances haven't changed. But maybe you are still down in the dumps. David considered God and he believed that God would speak to him in the land of the living. It was steak on his plate while he waits, not just pie in the sky when he dies. And so what about us? What's your perspective on these things now? Have you got a little bit down? Have you stopped believing that God might even speak to you and answer your prayers? Please arrest that drop in your faith if it is true and get back to believing like David believed that God was going to meet with him in a wonderful way. And it's because he's had this encounter with God through prayer. And so he declares, "I believe I will look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in this life." Now, back in verse 4, David mentioned that he was going to gaze upon the Lord. It says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will gaze upon him, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord. He wanted to gaze upon the Lord. And this, you can guarantee, is David's pursuit for his whole life. We would do well to declare the same in a difficult time, that we can have confidence that we will look upon God in this land of the living. If David can make this statement in his circumstances, we can absolutely follow his example, because more revelation has come to us than what David ever had when he wrote these psalms and sang these beautiful songs to God. Hold on. Don't say, but this is King David. This is the psalmist. This is the man whom God loved. Well, God loves you, doesn't he? You should believe that. And don't say, it can just happen to him. We are in a more wonderful place. We have more wonderful revelation than David ever had. Every Christian can expect to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, even in the dreaded 2020. Do you believe that? If not, give yourself a slap and wake yourself up to the fact that God can speak to you right now. When this tape finishes, stop whatever you're thinking about doing and start and pray and ask God. Listen, despite some difficulties, there is enough evidence of God's goodness in our life today. Just stop to think. And listen, if God has graciously answered your prayers, I hope the reality of that is that you've been back to thank him. I'm privileged, perhaps from time to time, to hear more stories and understand more people's situations and circumstances than many of you will, even in the church. But I know that God has been making miraculous answers to prayer, even in these last few weeks. And those who have had those answers, I hope that you have been back to God to thank him. It is so important. Okay, verse 14. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Hold on here. It's as if he's directly addressing us. Wait for the Lord. In a different version of the Bible, it says, be of good courage. Be strong. Actually, more than that, it says, wait in faith. That is one of the original meanings. It's not in every version of scripture, but when you trace it back, it means wait in faith. And it is as if David is addressing people who are around him, and therefore directly us. David is not just certain that he will look upon the goodness of the Lord, he is certain that we will as well. Wait upon the Lord. Now listen, you should know as well as I do, God's timing is wise and perfect. Are you waiting for a prayer? Then you should be confident that the answer to that prayer will come. No doubt, the answer to that prayer is as quick as you want it to be. But listen, God does that. I believe he even does it on purpose. If God just answered every one of our prayers just at the drop of a hat, just at the click of a finger, how much would we be like a spoilt child who just wants everything and stamps and stinges? Please God that we'd never ever get like that. Our waiting is to be filled with expectation. Is your waiting filled with expectation? I don't know whether any of you can remember a wonderful man. I've not heard from him in quite a long time now. But he used to come through to some of the popular conferences that we went to. And that was an Indian man called Ram Babu. And he used to say this. And I was going to do it in an Indian accent. But of course, so many people are so politically correct and everything now. And if I was to do it in an Indian accent, then perhaps we'd have people really saying, what on earth is Dave doing? So for that reason, I'm going to say it in an Indian accent. Rambabu used to say this, waiting, waiting, and all you are doing is putting on weight. Okay, if you want a translation to English from that, what he's really saying is, you're waiting around and you're not doing anything while you're waiting, and all you're doing is getting sluggish. We've got to wait with anticipation. We've got to wait with the fullness of the promise weighing on our lives by way of faith that God is going to answer. How much more do we hate waiting? Oh dear me, waiting in queues, waiting in car parks, waiting outside supermarkets, and especially waiting with masks on. We detest waiting, don't we? But listen also, wonderfully, we are waiting for God to bless us who actually don't deserve it. Remember last time? Preach the gospel to yourselves. Well, God wants us first to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And as you look at him, then we will see the answer to his prayers. And I believe that that is the purpose of God delaying. He wants us to look at him. He wants us to gaze upon him. He wants us to spend time with him. He doesn't want us to ask just like some spoilt child who only ever prays when they want something. He wants us to spend time with him, to gaze upon his beauty, to consider him, to meditate on scripture. If anything, we should have it easier than David, because we have seen the goodness of God in the face of Jesus. How wonderful that is. In Hebrews 10, it speaks something of that. The way that David speaks in this psalm earlier on is talking about wanting to see God in his dwelling place, which for David, you know, was the kind of the temple context. Not the temple, obviously, that Solomon built. But it says there in those verses that we read before, verses 4 and 5. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He wanted to dwell where God was, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. And in the secret place of his tabernacle, he will hide me. What wonderful words they are. If we jump forward all that way and listen to what the writer of the Hebrews, book of Hebrews, says in chapter 10 and verse 11, this is the revelation that we now have that David never had. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who have been set apart. That is us. God has given us forgiveness of sins. What a joy that should be. Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice so that sinners like us, like me, could seek his face, could gaze upon the Lord, could enter into the Holy of Holies and behold his beauty. This psalm demonstrates the goodness of God. Wake up, people, to the goodness of God. If you are down and depressed not clinically, but just in one of those black moods because of this shutdown. Spend that time gazing upon the Lord, looking upon his beauty. If David had confidence to look upon the Lord before the cross, how much more then should we have confidence that we will see the Lord, not just at the other side of the grave in the land of the living, but in this land of the living that God has placed us in now? Please spend time gazing upon the Lord, because like David, if we spend enough time, everything that looks bleak will change to have a glorious outlook. Praise God. Bless you. Hope that you have a good week this coming week. Amen.